Interrogatories, 20 questions. Request for admissions, 20 statements. Request for production, 5 requests. The following pages will instruct you in methods for creating the above documents. For this assignment, staple all the documents together. Keep track of your billable hours and attach your timesheet at the end of the documents. Interrogatories. Interrogatories, from the word interrogate, are written questions to the other party or general request for information relevant to the litigation. The other party must respond to interrogatories under penalty of perjury. While requests for admissions, discussed later, attempt to paint the opposing party into a legal corner, interrogatories instead paint with a broad brush. Any time after the suit is filed, either party may set forth interrogatories to the opposing party. While all discovery must be relevant to the issues being tried, interrogatories may be general and cover extensive matters, attempting to cast a broad net to obtain as many facts as possible. Discovery point. Discovery is intended to expose all relevant facts that will help the court reach a fair decision. Even if the information is damaging, the responding party must disclose it. In the past, many jurisdictions required interrogatories and their responses to be filed with the court. Most jurisdictions have eliminated this requirement, although federal rules still generally require filing of the certificate of mailing or receipt of copy. After the caption and comes now paragraph, many attorneys include specific instructions regarding the responses. Although not required, these instructions may include such subjects as who responds to the interrogatories, how certain individuals are referred to, what certain terms or phrases mean, and other guidance. These instructions should also state the continuing nature of the interrogatories. Continuing nature of discovery. Even after initial discovery deadlines have passed and initial discovery responses have been completed, the responding party must inform the requesting party, if any additional or subsequent information becomes known. For example, if a previously unidentified witness becomes known to the responding party after discovery is complete, that party is responsible for making this information known to the other side. Remember, interrogatories attempt to find out as much information as possible, from generic background information to specific questions about the matter being litigated. The litigation process is an adversarial process. However, there are polite considerations that should be observed for the benefit of all. One such consideration is to leave enough space between interrogatories for the opposing party to respond. In fact, in some jurisdictions, this is required. Limited discovery. Many states now have what is referred to as limited discovery. This means either that only specific questions may be posed or that the number of questions is limited. California, for instance, has replaced traditional discovery documents created in law offices with discovery forms, featuring specific questions for specific legal matters. In some states, discovery forms are supplemented with questions created by the firm, usually requiring court approval. Many states limit interrogatories to 40 questions per party, unless the court grants more. Many courts even count subsections listed as A, B, C, etc. as individual interrogatories. In those jurisdictions, the paralegal should rewrite or create interrogatories without subsections to maximize the number of interrogatories available to the client. Again, do not reinvent the wheel. If the firm has interrogatories from a previous litigation that is similar in nature, or if there are form books available to you in the law library or online, use them. Discussion points, part 1. At what point are interrogatories usually sent? To To whom are interrogatories generally sent? The opposing party, witnesses, or both? Are instructions required? What are the advantages to including instructions? Are interrogatories responded to under oath? Answers to interrogatories. When a law firm receives interrogatories from the opposing party, the paralegal should stamp the date received on the document and make note of the response deadline in the appropriate calendar or tickler system. There are three ways to respond to the interrogatories. 1. The attorney responds. This is the most inefficient means of response and should only be used in cases involving very technical or complex matters. Otherwise, the client pays attorney rates for a service that could have been provided at paralegal rates. 2. The client responds by himself. This could certainly be appropriate and cost-effective. Ultimately, the complexity of the litigation or the client's experience with the litigation process may be the determining factor. If this method of response is chosen, the client must be given a date by which the responses should be returned to the attorney. This date should be well in advance of the actual due date, since revisions may be required. 3. The client responds with help. When the interrogatories are received, the paralegal should notify the clients and make an appointment to consult with them. This is the most intelligent and cost-effective method of responding to discovery. If a paralegal assists the client in responding, the time an attorney must spend reviewing, correcting, and rewriting the interrogatories will be reduced. When helping a client respond to discovery, always maintain high ethical standards. Should one ever start down the slippery slope of unethical behavior, it is difficult to regain the ethical higher ground. The paralegal should also consider the fact that answers to interrogatories or any other form of discovery may be entered into evidence or read at trial, since the person responding to the interrogatories does so under penalty of perjury. Any discrepancy between testimony given at trial and discovery responses could place the client and attorney in jeopardy. Unfortunately, discovery has been used by many attorneys as a means of intimidation, delay, or obstruction. Some questions are posed simply to upset, embarrass, or scare the opposing party. Other questions may ask for responses or materials of such a quantity that the responding party is overwhelmed. When this occurs, a litigant's attorney has two choices. The attorney may wish to object to an interrogatory because it is irrelevant, inappropriate, creates a burden on the responding party, or for other reasons. If the amount of material requested is considerable or the information not readily available, the attorney may ask the court for an extension of time to respond. Of course, the attorneys may simply agree between themselves to allow additional time. As a paralegal, you can support your attorney by documenting any agreement reached between attorneys. Discussion points, part 2. What is the advantage of in having a paralegal assist the client in answering interrogatories? What ethically challenging situations could arise for a paralegal who helps a client respond to interrogatories? Which of the following are not under penalty of perjury? A. Interrogatory responses. B. Affidavits. C. Verified complaints. D. All of the above are responded to under penalty of perjury. Interrogatory techniques. First and foremost, when creating any discovery document, use available form books. However, there will be times when no previously existing form quite fits, or the form you find needs substantial alteration. These techniques are designed to give the paralegal a framework for creating discovery documents. Technique 1. Personal information. Build a profile of the opposing party. Example, interrogatory technique 1. 1. Provide your full name, address, and home, mobile, and work phone numbers. 2. Provide the names of all those involved in responding to these interrogatories. 3. Provide a general statement about your position in this action. Technique 2. Financial considerations. Establish the ability of the opposing party to pay damages. Look for assets in three areas. Assets of the party, such as property, certificates of deposit, etc. Assets in which the party has an interest, wills, insurance beneficiaries, etc. Assets in which the party has no direct interest, but that may be relevant to litigation. Spouse's property, insurance directly covering damages, business liability, etc. Example, interrogatory technique 2. 1. As to any insurance policy in which you have an interest, provide the following. A. Name of policyholder. B. Name of insurance company. C. Policy number. D. Your relationship to the policyholder. Technique 3. Facts pertaining to the case. Ask detailed questions regarding the matter before the court. Who, what, when, where, why, how? Example, interrogatory technique 3. 1. What was your response when you first saw the plaintiff, your wife's current boyfriend, on the corner? 2. How did the plaintiff react when he saw you? 3. In what manner did the plaintiff approach you? 5. When the plaintiff approached you, how did you react? 5. What occurred when the plaintiff tried to shake your hand? Discovery point, yes or no questions. Avoid asking yes or no questions unless follow-up questions are included, such as if yes to the above question, explain those circumstances. Yes or no questions are limiting. They do not allow a response that provides context and are uneconomical, using up one of your allotted interrogatories while gaining little related information. They also allow the person responding to answer yes or no, but to later squirm out of that response by claiming the question did not require specifics. Instead, try rephrasing the question to avoid a simple yes or no response. For example, your first attempt to draft a question ends up being, were you at the party at the professor's house on the night of June 2 of this year? That question could be changed to, what were you doing on the night of June 2 of this year between 6 p.m. and 3 a.m. the following morning? Exercise, modifying yes or no questions. Modify the following questions so they do not elicit a simple yes or no response. 1. Do you know the plaintiff in this court action? 2. Did you consume any alcohol between 6 and 11 p.m. on the evening of June 2, 2021? 3. Did you have any conversations with the plaintiff that evening? Example, interrogatories, followed by a couple of pages of interrogatory examples.